helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. The First Amendment guarantees our right to petition the government for a redress of grievance. But one of the most common ways to do so is in the courts. But if you're betting on courts to save you, odds are you'll lose to the House almost every time. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. I wanted to remind you today that courts are part of the government. That's why I say frequently you lose to the House. You show up at a court case, whether it's a criminal case or a civil case, the majority of the people directly involved in the case, with the exception of the jury, work for the government. The prosecutor works for the government. The judge works for the government. The bailiff works for the government. The stenographer works for the government. And if it's a criminal case and you can't afford an attorney, your own defense attorney works for the government. And that has nothing to do with these fake administrative law courts. That's a whole scam unto itself. It's not meant to depress you. It's meant to make sure you're aware that the odds are against you. Like in the lottery or at Las Vegas, the odds always favor the House. Doesn't mean you give up the fight, but it means we have to deal with it intelligently. That starts by knowing the rules. In fact, it helps if you can know the rules better than the people who work for the government in the case. I can't tell you how many times I'm dealing with people, and when I say the rules, I don't mean all the rules. I focus on a core set of rules called the Constitution of the United States. And yeah, frequently I'm talking to attorneys, lawyers, people who make a living with the law. And I point out something the Constitution says, and they're shocked and they're taken aback. That helps. It helps balance the scales. But I wanted to take some time today, and I want to look at a few cases. These either already are court cases, or I think they're going to lead to a court case. And a lot of it, I think we can do a lot better if we know what the rules are. That includes recognizing that the odds are in the favor of government. Now, let's start with a situation that I believe is going to end up in a court case. And it involves the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, that has issued some new guidelines, yes, I'm using scare quotes, that would claim it's harassment for an employer to require an employee to use a restroom that matches their sex. Or referring to someone by a pronoun they don't like. That's considered harassment. Now, let me point out a couple of basic underlying rules that, well, hopefully would help if you, whoever ends up filing said suit, get a leg up on the House, the government. The EEOC does not legally exist. It's the legislation that created it is void. Why? Because it's not made pursuant to the Constitution. Regulating employment is not a power delegated to the United States by the Constitution. The Congress can regulate interstate commerce, but the EEOC doesn't regulate commerce, it regulates employment. And that's not a power delegated to the United States. There's problem number one. How about problem number two? This idea of pronouns. Remember, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. If you're telling me that I cannot refer to somebody by a pronoun that I think is accurate, well, that's abridging the freedom of speech. So this EEOC, a creation of Congress, cannot tell me what I can and cannot say, especially in my own business. Because that would be a deprivation of liberty and of property without due process of law, a violation of the Fifth Amendment. Have I got your attention now? See, if you build an argument from that standpoint, I mean, I'm expecting people to talk about fairness and all that. Very simple. These guidelines violate the First Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, the Tenth Amendment of the Constitution. The very idea of the EEOC is a violation of the Tenth Amendment to the Constitution. And if we don't stop and deal with the problem from the beginning, the House wins. Why? Well, let's say you start arguing from previous court opinions. That's the House. Those courts are government entities. And although they take an oath to support the Constitution, no one actually holds them accountable when they don't do that. So in a case like this, if you're playing by the House's rules, the House will always win. You start an argument, a position, you fight this based on the Constitution. Not only are you working on fair grounds, but guess what? If you bother to read the Constitution, spend a little bit of time in it, you'll find that you know the rules better than your opponent. I remember years ago, it was after the 2020 elections, and I was having a conference call with a group, and they were discussing their state had issues with how they had selected presidential electors, and we were discussing what could be done and you know, several things. And on that call was a lawyer, an attorney, who specialized in the Electoral College. And during this discussion, I pointed out a fact that she had wrong. See, we were talking about, you know, what could this state do? And I said, well, the state can appoint, the legislature can simply say, what does the law say? Under the law, if our election is in question, the state needs to appoint electors. The legislature gets to determine how electors are appointed. We can simply say, we're going to appoint them in this method when our elections are in question. And they said, well, or they could simply fail to appoint electors. Say, we cannot come to a decision, therefore we're not appointing electors. And I said, well, then the election is so close, neither Biden nor Trump would get to 270 electors. I said, it's not 270 anymore, it's 260. She goes, what do you mean? You have to have more than half of the electors. I said, no, you have to have more than half of the electors appointed. If your state, which represents approximately 20 electors, or should have 20 electors, if you don't appoint electors, the number changes. It's not 538, it's 518. And half of 518 is 259. You need to have more than half. That means you need 260. I'm not picking on this attorney. She was a very smart woman. There was this one little aspect of the fundamental law of the country she didn't realize. And that's what we try to bring to these discussions, is that understand, that deep knowledge of the fundamental law of the nation. At least that's the way it was referred to in Marbury versus Madison, the fundamental law, the paramount law of the nation. Because if you go into court, remember, you're dealing with judges who work for the government. Many of them have their own, we'll call them political preferences. And in and amongst this, they are, or I should say, they tend to be judged more on their affiliation to politics than to the actual oath to support the Constitution of the United States. For example, a panel, the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, came up with a very, I call it interesting decision in a particular case. This one questioned the validity of Virginia's Medicaid policy and North Carolina state health plan for teachers and state employees, both of which refused to cover gender-denying care. Well, what's euphemistically referred to as gender-affirming care, what it is cosmetic surgery. It's I call it genital mutilation. It's basically cosmetic surgery. The opinion was written by Judge Gregory, and to sum it up, he says, these two cases present the same question. Do healthcare plans that cover medically necessary treatment for certain diagnoses but bar coverage for those same medically necessary treatments for diagnoses unique to transgender patients violate either the Equal Protection Clause or other provision of federal law? We hold that they do, and therefore affirm the judgments of the district court. Now, again, this is the House playing games. So, first of all, okay, do healthcare plans that cover medically necessary treatments for certain diagnoses, but bar them for other diagnoses? That pretty much defines healthcare plans. Okay, there are treatments. They call them medically necessary treatments. I'm going to deal with that in a moment. But there are treatments for certain diagnoses that are related to other diagnoses. For example, let me give you a perfect example. There is no way it would ever be medically necessary for me to have a hysterectomy. In fact, it's biologically impossible for me to have a hysterectomy, because I'm a dude. It's medically impossible. So when they talk about medically necessary treatments, they're talking about, they say, for a diagnosis unique to transgender patients. I'm going to look at this a bit closer, but as I understand it, what they're basically saying is that they claim that it's medically necessary. If you want to mutilate your body, you want to mutilate your body? If you're an adult and you make that informed consent that you want to mutilate your body, I don't think the court should get in the way. But the question is, do healthcare plans have to cover this? In other words, do the employees of the state that pay into these healthcare plans, are they required to cover what is not medically necessary treatment? Now, maybe there's something in here that I'm unaware of, but of the reporting I've seen, we're talking about, they give an example. For example, one program covers mastectomies to treat cancer, but not gender dysphoria. Well, okay, my mother, by the way, who died of breast cancer, had a double mastectomy because it was medically necessary to try to save her life. And it did extend her life for several years. How is it medically necessary for someone, a girl who thinks she's a boy, to have her breast removed? How is that medically necessary? But what's interesting is look at this. They're basically saying, I can make up a medical diagnosis and simply claim it is medically necessary. Let's say you have a patient, there's a psychological condition where people think they should have body parts amputated, arms, legs, right? Are you telling me now that because there's a person who is confused about the physical state of their body, who has a mental disorder, is now can claim it's medically necessary to remove a perfectly healthy arm or a perfectly healthy leg? See, that's the fundamental difference. In the case of a mastectomy for breast cancer, that is not perfectly healthy tissue. In the case of the so-called transgender, that is perfectly healthy tissue. That is not literally what this court has just done is say, forget the Equal Protection Clause. They've claimed that an individual with a mental disorder gets to tell health insurance plans, healthcare plans, what they must cover. And if you disagree, if the medical experts disagree, too bad. And in fact, guess what? If you are a North Carolina teacher or state employee and you pay into this plan, your money's being taken to pay for treatments that you may not agree with, which means you're being coerced to, in order to get medical coverage, you're going to be coerced to pay into a plan that denies science. It denies reality. It denies medicine. And this has been approved by the judge or several judges. In other words, House wins. Now, let's say you want to learn more about, you want to get this education, you want to learn more about the Constitution. Well, guess what? I can help. See, you go to constitutionstudy.com/wizard. I created a planning wizard. It's designed to help people figure out what may be the next steps. Yes, you give me your name and your email address, and then you answer a handful of questions. Things like, when did you last read the Constitution? How difficult was it? Are you part of a group? What are your goals? And it gives you some goals to choose from. When you're done, the system processes this information and it will start sending you recommendations. Now, the wizard is free. Many of the suggestions from the wizard are free. This isn't designed to make a buck. This is designed to give people some ideas, a way to help decide maybe I try this, maybe I try that. If you have some other need some other help, you can always contact me through the website, again, constitutionstudy.com, and we'll see what we can do to help. Because that's what this is about. It's about helping people to read and study the Constitution. As the subtitle of my book says, Returning the Constitution to We the People. Here's another thing you can do to regain control. Now, if you're dealing with, say, long COVID, or you're worried about shedding, which is a real problem. If you're concerned about this spike protein, which is toxic, it's inflammatory, it's not good for us. Well, the people over at the Wellness Company have come up with a product that helps deal with this problem. It's a revolutionary combination of ingredients designed to help protect against the effects of the vaccine, shedding, or COVID in general. Now, it's backed by documented research. It's vetted by the chief medical board of the Wellness Company. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off not just spike support, but any of the products at the Wellness Company. You can even get 25% off your first month of membership. Just use the code OUTLOUD when you check out. So please go to americaoutloud.shop, find spike support, get all the details, check all the information, verify their sources. And if you want to try it, put your cart together, but be sure to use that code out loud when you check out. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your order, off your products, and off your first month of membership.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at the Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to outloudcare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study and pointing out that if you're trusting in courts, you're likely to get burned. Courts are part of government, and they're an important part of government. I'm not saying we should get rid of the courts, but understand when you're playing in the court, the House is the government. And like in most situations, the House usually wins. And the only way we can, I believe, the only way we can change that is if we understand the most fundamental, paramount laws of our nation so that we can go into these arguments armed. Because even, you know, even if you're dealing with an attorney that you hire, they were trained by, most likely, government-sanctioned and government, I don't want to say regulated, well, government-regulated law schools. I mean, remember, law schools, they, from my experience, from my, granted, maybe not completely scientific, but people who go to law schools aren't taught the Constitution. They're taught what judges, their opinions about the Constitution. They're taught what some judge said, what they meant. And you can see this when I'm reviewing cases. They almost never refer to the Constitution. They refer to what some judge said the Constitution says. And as I frequently find out, judges and attorneys lie. It may not be an active lie, but they say things about these opinions that just are not true. So we're in, we're playing against the House. Now, there are things we can do. And one of the greatest things we can do is make sure that our state and local elected employees are educated in their role and their duty to protect us. For example, Texas recently filed suit against the Biden administration because the Biden administration started rewriting federal law. It's called Title IX. And in 1972, Title IX was passed. It's a part of the federal civil rights law. By the way, I believe most of it is probably unconstitutional. I say probably most because I haven't actually read through the entire Title IX. But that's a whole other thing, because what they're doing is they're regulating, in this case, sex-based discrimination in schools. And sadly, that's not a power delegated to the United States. That's not a power delegated to the United States. Sadly, the fact that we need such regulations is what's really sad. But in Title IX, the discrimination is based on sex. The problem is the LGBTQ, LMNOP activists don't like that. So there's a group of people, there's a group of dudes that want to compete in women's sports. Why do they want to compete in women's sports? You know, it's really interesting. For a good chunk of my life, we've seen calls for women to compete in men's sports. And again, there are a lot of sports where it doesn't really matter. I've followed auto racing my entire life. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, man. If you can drive the wheels off a race car, if you've got the skill and the desire and the stamina to do it, go for it. We really do not care. But if you're talking football, track and field, swimming, biologically, there's a difference between men and women, which is why they developed Title IX in the first place. There was no way in these sports that women could fairly compete against men. Men had just too much of a biological advantage. So they created Title IX. And they said, you have to have women's sports. You had to have sports, but that distinction was based on sex. Well, guess what? The Biden administration doesn't like that. So they took the Biden's education Department of Education, which another illegal, unconstitutional, therefore void federal department, and they tried to rewrite Title IX by saying sex means whatever you think in your head. That's basically what they said, right? If you're a dude and you think in your head you're a chick, you get to play on girls' sports. Completely destroying the purpose of Title IX. And Texas says no. In fact, in a statement from Attorney General Paxton, he said Texas will not allow Joe Biden to rewrite Title IX at whim, destroying legal protections for women in furtherance of a radical obsession with gender ideology. This attempt to subvert federal law is plainly illegal, undemocratic, and divorced from reality. Texas will always take the lead to oppose Biden's extremist destructive policies that put women at risk. Okay, so Texas filed suit. They've been joined by America First Legal. Now, here's the interesting point. I have no problem with Texas filing suit, as long as that's not the only thing they plan to do. See, Texas is a state. They're not a vassal to Washington, D.C. Title IX is not the supreme law of the land because it was a law made not pursuant to the Constitution. What Biden did is within the a rule from the Department of Education is not the supreme law because rules and regulations from executive agencies are not listed in Article 6, Clause 2. So if all Texas does is sue, I'll be severely disappointed. Texas should simply say, no, the Biden administration's attempt to illegally rewrite federal law won't stand in Texas. We ignore it. Sure, we'll sue to protect the rights, but that's not all we're going to do. Will they ignore it? Will the governor order the State Department of Education, an actual constitutional entity, to ignore the rewrite of Title IX because it's unconstitutional? It's unconstitutional. It's not the supreme law of the land. It's not law, period. End of story. Don't do it. Will they then turn around and sue the federal government? Will they sue the federal government when the federal government cuts off their bribery money to the school? That might be an interesting lawsuit. But again, Texas is suing in federal court. The judges work for the federal government. And most of the attorneys, including Attorney General Paxton, were trained in the law school that places the opinion of judges above the supreme law of the land. In other words, the House has all the odds. The odds are in the House's favor. Now, here's another one. Again, we're going back to the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. See, they decided to rewrite law. Now, Congress passed a Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, an unconstitutional legislation. Again, protecting pregnant workers, not a power delegated to the United States. Dealing with employment issues, not a power delegated to the United States. But as if that weren't bad enough, well, as I understand it, part of the Pregnant Women's Fairness Act involves telling companies they must provide mandatory time off for women when they deliver. You know, again, unconstitutional, not the federal government's job. I like the idea, but it's not the federal government's job. But the EEOC has decided, you know, we're going to change it. We know Congress wrote this one way, but we're going to set some new rules. And one of those rules is that you're also going to get time off if you have an abortion. Now, 17 attorneys general have filed a lawsuit against EEOC, claiming that the agency's abortion rule is unelected. I'm sorry, it's unconstitutional. From a statement I read, unelected commissioners at the EEOC seek to hijack these new protections for pregnancies by requiring employers to accommodate elective abortions, something the Pregnant Worker Fairness Act clearly did not authorize. They also went on to say the EEOC's rules constitute an unconstitutional federal overreach that infringes on existing state laws and exceeds the scope of the agency's authority. I would say that it's not the EEOC rule. I'd say that it's the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act that is an unconstitutional federal overreach and infringes on existing state law, or likely infringes on existing state law. Now, so far, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia, the attorneys general from all these states have joined into this lawsuit. But again, if the lawsuit, remember, you are these states, AGs, are playing in the federal government's pool. The federal government is the House. They employ the judge. They employ many of the people that work there. And even the attorneys that work for the attorneys general were trained in law schools that say the federal government has power that the Constitution doesn't authorize. They're playing against the House, which is why I'd like to see these attorneys, I'd like to see the governors of these states, I'd like to see the state legislatures of these states pass a law that says the federal government doesn't have the constitutional authority to regulate pregnant women or to regulate abortion. So go pound sand. I'm not holding my breath, by the way. I'm not, because this is the type of thing that, let's face it, politicians generally shy away from. Why? One, because many of them have been trained in the same law schools that have no clue what the Constitution says. They didn't train them in the Constitution. They trained them in judicial opinion and federal and judicial supremacy. But what are you doing to educate them? See, when John Jay said that every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country, teach the rising generation to be free, it's so that we could identify when our rights are being violated and be prepared to defend and assert them. One of the ways you defend and assert your rights is by educating those you elect, those you hire to represent you, as to what the Constitution actually says, what their oath means, and how they can actually fulfill said oath. See, the reason I don't believe these governors are likely to stand up is because most likely they're afraid. See, they don't think the legislature is going to back them up. Why would they? And of course, when it comes to the legislature, they aren't going to back up because they don't believe their constituents would vote for them if they actually, I don't know, grew a spine. And why do you think that is? Could it possibly be because we have spent so much time being taught and believing that the federal government is supreme and that we're just vassals and subjects? Could it be that we've been taught to just sit down, shut up, and do what you're told? Could it be we've been indoctrinated with the idea that political parties are where all the power is? And the last thing you want to do as a politician is piss off your political party. Could it be we have sold our souls to the donkeys and the elephants? See, if we want to take control back from the House, it's literally there waiting for us. That's what the Constitution's there for. if we would just learn to use it. Now, maybe you learn by attending a class, reading a book, checking out some articles I've written on the Constitution Study, or somewhere else. The Heritage Foundation does some great work. Institute on the Constitution has some great material. There are plenty of places to go. But if you're trusting that the courts will get things right, you have to understand what they've been taught is a lie. And the lie doesn't set you free. It's the truth that sets you free. And let's face it, right now, our liberties are under attack, and not just from government. Don't help fund those groups, those companies that are attacking your right to live free. Join the only Christian conservative wireless provider that exists in this country. Use your cell phone to defend your rights and the right of your family, including your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Switch to Patriot Mobile today and get free activation with offer code CONSTITUTION. Simply go to patriotmobile.com/constitution, find a plan that works for you. Be sure to use that promo code CONSTITUTION in order to get free activation as you join us as we use our cell phones to defend our rights. Also, please head to AmericaOutloud.news each and every day for the latest news and information. I do. It's part of my evening ritual. See, it's more important than ever that we get information from several sources, but that we also share that information with others. That we take the stories and articles that have this information, the podcasts and the videos that have this wonderful information, and we share them. See, we enjoy the blessings of our liberty, but they're under attack, and the only way we can secure them is by sharing the truth. And we share the truth when we take these articles and information and we share them with friends and with family, and yes, even on the internet.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about trust in courts and the fact that, let's face it, the House almost always wins. Now, I do say almost always, right? Because, well, even a slot machine pays out every so often. They've got to let us win so that we keep faith in the system, as broken as it is. Take, for example, a recent case out of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, there was a challenge to the state of Pennsylvania's law that requires mail-in ballots to include the date that the ballot was sent. Right? So this was challenged. It was upheld at the, by a panel of the Third Circuit Court. This is back in March. And they said, no, it doesn't violate the Civil Rights Act. I'm still trying to figure out how someone thinks requiring a date somehow is a violation of your civil rights. But then again, we're dealing with lawyers. So what are you going to do? Well, this was it was requested that it be heard en banc. Now, at the circuit court level, frequently what they'll do is they're supposed to randomly assign judges to different panels to hear different cases. And if I think it can be appealed to be heard en banc, meaning the entire circuit hears it. And you know what? The Third Circuit said, nah, we don't think we're going to hear this one. Now, I'm okay with that, right? Because, again, we're talking about a requirement that when you mail in a ballot, there's a place where you have to write in the date that you actually write in the date. We're not talking about denying people the right to vote because of the color of their skin or their sex or even their zip code. We're saying the rules are you have to put the date on it because there are laws about the dates these can be sent in and you could lie, but lying on a document like that's probably a crime. So, but at least the court said, you know what, this is enough. We're not hearing it. The question is, will this be appealed to the Supreme Court? Somehow I don't think it's going to go there either, because again, it's such a ridiculous case to say that that somehow requiring someone to put a date on a mail-in ballot to prove that it was to state that it was filled in and sent within a time that matches the law somehow violates a person's civil rights. So, yeah, sometimes, you know what? Sometimes they get it right. Then again, sometimes it's actually the person bringing the lawsuit that got it all wrong. And it really shouldn't surprise people that this particular case comes out of California, or Commifornia, as I like to call it now, and then specifically their Attorney General, Rob Bonta. Now, this goes back to a lawsuit he filed back in August of 23 against the Chino Valley Unified School District Board of Education because they adopted a parental notification policy. The policy requires the school district, schools within the district, to notify parents in writing within 3 days if their child requests to identify as a different gender, right? Any changes to the name, to the pronouns in the classroom, uses of the bathroom, locker room, anything like that, they need to notify the parents. This apparently offended the communist Mr. Bonta, or at least maybe it was his boss. But the point was, back in August, they filed suit. In October of 23, the judge issued a preliminary injunction blocking enforcement of the district's policy, saying it is unfair to single out LGBT students. I find that very interesting because basically what you're doing is you are singling out LGBT students. See, if a student comes to class and has a concern, a medical concern, don't the parents need to be notified? If the child wants to change something, don't the parents need to be notified? And but no, no, no. See, because it's got, we're dealing with sex. We're dealing with the LGBT Nazis. Now the judge says, oh, no, you can't single them out. Now, recently, the board did vote 4-1 to update its policy that such notifications should only occur if the child requests to change information in their official or unofficial record. So what do we see? We see the attorney general saying, and again, as a parent, something as impactful to a child's life as the desire to change or to their name or their what they understand about their body. That's serious. We're not talking about, oh, he wants to be called Bubba in school. That should notify the parents. So you have the attorney general of the state filing suit. You have the judge applying pressure by issuing the issuing the order, the restraining order, in to me, which is such a not going to go there yet. The board now has backed down and said, okay, we don't care if the guy goes in the ladies' room. We don't call that Steve wants to be called Stephanie at school. We don't care that he's wearing different clothes, that he's exhibiting a serious psychological disorder. No, we don't care all about that. As long as he doesn't change the student record, we won't notify the parents. They basically capitulate. So what's the reaction of Mr. Bonta? He's pushing hard for a final decision on the lawsuit. So he wants to block this district or any other schools from actually notifying parents, from enacting a policy to notify parents of the exhibition of a serious psychological condition in the child. Now, he claims it's to prevent children from becoming targets. What it really is to prevent children from becoming treated. You're targeting children, saying, because you claim LGBT, we're going to pretend this isn't a psychological disorder. Again, I have absolutely no surprise that this is coming out of California. That not because it's coming out of the California government, not because it's coming out of the courts. I'm not surprised at all. Because if we turned our future over to the courts, we've sold our souls to those very same courts. And of course, if we're talking about courts, we got to wrap up talking about Trump's multiple cases. I know a lot of people say, see, he's evil because he's got all these court cases. But again, I've seen plenty of court cases that have nothing to do with guilt or innocence and all about political posturing. But that's not my point. So you have a case in Georgia where now the prosecutor's under investigation. You have a case in New York where the state claims fraud, even though neither side claims there was any fraud. The both sides say, nope, it was a perfectly good business relationship. We're happy. We do it again. We have a claim of misclassifying a payment to somebody as legal expenses, and somehow a candidate for the president of the United States is stuck in a courtroom during this trial for this case, and the judge tells him, you can't tell the public just how what you think about me or anyone else in this court. Something weird's going on. They, of course, I hear all the time, lawfare. Okay, there's nothing, I understand there's lawfare. But what's interesting is I've been working on an article for Trump's Supreme Court immunity case. And one of the interesting points, one of the interesting questions that was brought up is a president needs immunity from criminal prosecution to prevent him from being subject to malicious prosecution. I understand the concern about malicious prosecution, but the question is the proper remedy for malicious prosecution to effectively make the president a king, make him above the law, or is it to hold the malicious prosecutors accountable? See, that's to me it's a topic that I would want to spend more time on as we look at all of these cases. Because let's face it, you know what's the saying, a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich? Well, guess what? Anybody can file a lawsuit for any purpose, any reason. Does not even be a valid reason. But it brings to question, in my mind, the fundamental dependence on courts to decide everything. And for these decisions to be only applied one-sided. In other words, in a criminal case where there's found to be a malicious prosecution, why does that not automatically trigger charges on the other side? In a case of a frivolous lawsuit, why do we not have this idea of loser pays in a frivolous lawsuit? I understand the desire not to, you know, make it so that people who don't have a lot of money have no chance, because if you lose, you have to pay. But there should be a punishment for abusing our legal system, especially recognizing that the House generally wins, that this legal system, this court system, is based in government. By the way, I don't know of any other real way to do this other than to have a government court that can oversee it. But I think we've become so subject to these courts and their decisions that we've kind of lost the plot. That a court is there to decide the controversy, not to enforce an action. As I point out in the Supreme Court case, the court's there to make a decision, not to create a standard. They're not there to create something, as one of the attorneys stated. They're not there to create something. They're there to look at the law, look at the facts, and render a decision. This judicial supremacy is dangerous to all of us. Especially when you recognize that, again, House wins more often than not. Now, again, I still come back to the point of your best defense, the best way to prepare to defend and assert your rights is to know what they are, to have read and studied the Constitution of the United States, to do so diligently, so that if you end up in these courts, you can not only be in the court, but you can assist in your case. You can assist because you have knowledge. If you know the supreme law of the land, you can help prepare your case. You can maybe even educate an attorney, maybe even a judge or two. But it's all based in knowledge. If there's a way to beat the House in Las Vegas, it's got to be knowing the odds and knowing where to play your hands. If there's a way to beat the House in a court of law, well, we don't even have those anymore. It's going to come down to knowing the supreme law of the land and being willing to not only know it, but articulate it, to express it, to help other people especially those in the business, help them to understand what the supreme law of the land says. And that's actually what we're trying to do with the Patriots program. So please check us out at constitutionstudy.com/patriots. We're trying to educate people so they know what their rights are and they're prepared to defend them and do so well. Now, the Patriots program is invitation only. So to get the invitation, you have to take the boot camp. The boot camp is free. It's about an hour long. And hopefully you'll learn something while you're there. But again, it's more than just that. That passing that will get you your invitation to the Patriots program, where we can learn and study and communicate and help each other. I also hope you come back and join us here for the Constitution Study, heard every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen via podcast using your favorite podcast app. The episodes generally go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave us ratings and reviews. See, the way a lot of the algorithms work, they work based on, well, the number of subscriptions, the number of reviews, not simply the quality of those reviews, especially, by the way, on Apple. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But I'm going to ask you to do something else. So I'm going to ask you to share that information. There's something about the act of sharing. I don't know if it's building community. I don't know if it's just the interaction. But when you go from consumer to sharer, something changes. And if you think about the blessings of liberty that we have and the ability to share what we think, what we know, what we've heard, that's a blessing I'd like to share more. And I hope you'll join me by sharing those links and sharing the blessing of liberty to all of us.